Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Keep Christ in Christmas. I think we're all very familiar with that phrase. We've heard it for as long as I can remember, and probably even further back than that. And it's well and good. We should keep Christ in Christmas. In more recent years, we've also heard the phrase, keep the Mass in Christmas. That may take a little explaining for us Lutherans, the Mass being the divine service. But understanding that, that phrase is also well and good. We should remember that Christmas is not primarily about family, feasting, or gifts, but the joyful remembrance of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, true God having become true man for us men and for our salvation. And the best way to remember Christ's birth is to gather here in his holy house for his divine service, to hear his word, and to receive his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation. Unfortunately, there are many people, including, sadly, some of our own members, who are very happy to keep both Christ and the Mass and Christmas, but then leave them there. We see it every year, Christmas Eve, our program, Christmas midnight, Christmas morning. The pews are filled, and there are many present who hardly darken the doorway of the church any other day of the year, except for maybe Easter. When Christmas is past, so too does their church attendance. There are faces that we're fairly certain we won't see again until next December 24th. Yes, for many, again even many Lutherans, Christ and the Mass worship are kept in Christmas and that's it. Like the nativity scene that is boxed up and put in the attic, Jesus and the church are set aside until the same holiday season next year. But if this is how we treat Christmas, then it is robbed of its greatest blessing, and it has no effect on us whatsoever. To treat Christmas in this manner would be to be like the shepherds, as if they were remaining on the hillside, keeping watch over their flocks by night, after hearing the angels, their good news of great joy, rather than going over to Bethlehem to see what the Lord had made known to them. But who could imagine such a thing? Indeed, the shepherds did go forth. They responded in faith to the word they heard proclaimed by the angels. They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Praise God, you also, today, who are gathered here, have likewise responded to the gospel you've heard. You've come back to this place again to hear about the Christ who was born in Bethlehem. And as we are just about a month, a little over a month, into the new church year, we look ahead to hearing all the ways that that child born in the city of David would prove to be a very Savior indeed. We will hear how he accomplished the great work of redemption and reconciliation for which he became man. And we will hear how that redemption and reconciliation is delivered to us week after week in the means that he himself has instituted. For all of this, not just his birth, but his life, death, resurrection, his ascension, the word and the sacraments that he himself has instituted for the forgiveness of sins, we cannot simply leave them in Christmas without risking grave danger to our souls. Well, this gospel of Jesus Christ, born for us, must be the center of our lives. For we will either receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and fear, love, and trust in him above all things, or we will reject him and refuse to confess him as Lord and King. We must either trust only in his righteousness to make us acceptable in God's sight, or we will put our hope for salvation in God's favor and our own good works and merits. We must either submit to him and seek to obey his commandments, or we will follow our own whims and wishes and ideas of what is right and what is wrong. There is no compromise when it comes to the Christ born in Bethlehem. We cannot leave him or his worship in Christmas and then consider ourselves to be faithful Christians. But we must take a stand. As Jesus himself says in Revelation chapter 3, "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." And this is what we heard today in Simeon's prophecy, who blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Even as a baby, little over a month old, there was no in-between when it came to Jesus. You cannot be lukewarm about him or his worship. You cannot claim to be with him and yet stand against his word and sacrament most of the year. He was appointed for the fall and the rising of many. No one can stand in the middle when it comes to Jesus. There is no neutrality. Simeon prophesied correctly. Christ was appointed for the fall of many. By the time Mary and Joseph brought their 40-day-old son Jesus to the temple, they had already heard many and wonderful things about him. Mary had heard that he would be great, he would be called the Son of the Most High, that he would receive the throne of his father David, that he would reign over the house of his father Jacob, that of his kingdom there would be no end, that he would be called holy, the Son of God. Joseph, likewise, was told that the child conceived in Mary's womb was from the Holy Spirit, that he would save his people from their sins, in fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken through the prophets, namely Isaiah. They had both heard from the shepherds the saying that had been told them by the angels concerning that child. They had both heard Simeon bless God with the words that we ourselves sing to this day, the Nunc Dimittis. But then again, Simeon prophesied, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Luke makes it quite clear that Simeon foretold in the Spirit, that he was inspired to speak what would happen in some 30 years' time. By the Spirit, he declared that the child would become a man, the Redeemer of the world, whose own people, whose glory that he is, would reject him. They would hand him over to the Gentiles, for whom he is a light for revelation. And together, both Gentiles and Israel would determine to send Christ to his death. They would hang him between two criminals, the innocent Son of God, helpless and stripped, hands and feet pierced by nails, head crowned with thorns, consumed with thirst, covered with his own blood, even forsaken by his God and Father. The sun would stop its shining, and standing by the cross all the while was his mother Mary, the same Mary from whose arms Simeon had once taken that child. Despite the many great and glorious things that both Mary and Joseph had heard about their child, they were warned not to entertain false hopes about his future. Many, both Jew and Gentile alike, would be offended by the Christ. They would reject him. They would fall on account of him. And it wasn't very long after Simeon spoke these words in the Spirit that they began to be fulfilled. Herod attempted to kill the child Jesus. Throughout his ministry, again, as we'll hear over the course of the coming year, Jesus would be opposed by the religious leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, and the scribes. On the cross, he would continue to be rejected, mocked, and abused. And even after he was raised from the dead and glorified, his chosen apostles would be forbidden by the authorities to preach the gospel and persecuted and killed, again, by Jew and Gentile both. So it is to this day. The great majority of people in our world do not believe in Jesus Christ as Lord or come to him. Even the many who might pay lip service to him and to his worship on Christmas do not believe in him. They do not receive him as their Savior from sin, death, and the devil. They do not acknowledge in faith that he became man to make us sons of God and heirs of heaven. They do not return here week after week to confess their sins to God or to call upon him in prayer. But none of this should be surprising. Simeon foretold it. But that's not all he foretold. Simeon also prophesied in the Spirit that the Christ is appointed for the rising of many. As we heard prophesied by Isaiah in the Old Testament lesson, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He does not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he judges the poor. He decides with equity for the meek of the earth. And the righteousness and equity by which Jesus judges the poor and meek is nothing less than his own righteousness. His perfect life, lived under law in fear of the Lord, and his perfect sufferings and death, by which he redeemed all those who stood condemned under the law. This righteousness Jesus bestows upon all who believe in him by grace and grace alone. To those who are poor in spirit, who are meek before the Lord, who repent of their sins and seek Christ alone as their only hope of salvation, Christ is for them the resurrection and the life. Although there are most people who have rejected Jesus, there are still many who have received him in faith. Faith worked by the same Holy Spirit that had come upon Simeon. These people have received Christ as their Savior. They have been raised up by him. They live. This includes Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, Simeon and Anna too. And through his word, preached by the apostles and by those ministers sent after them, the Holy Spirit comes upon many that they might confess him in life, even unto death, and so gain the crown of life. Yes, even to this very day, Christ is appointed for the rising of many, for your rising. You who repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord. Simeon finally foretold that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And that also is true to this day, even here now. By your attendance in this church on this first Sunday after Christmas, and especially by what you will do in a few moments' time, kneeling at this altar to eat and drink Christ's very body and blood in the fellowship of this congregation, the thoughts of your hearts are being revealed. That is to say, your actions confess the faith of your heart. That is, that you believe that Jesus Christ is true God and that he has given his body and shed his blood for you for the forgiveness of your sins. True body and true blood that you eat and drink at this rail in a moment's time. But what of all those others? Those who are content to leave Christ and the Mass in Christmas and go on with the rest of their days. What shall we say about them? What shall we do for them? Let us consider the example of Anna. At 84 years old, having spent all her days in fasting and prayer, she could have simply said, "I've done my part. Nothing else I can do." And yet, as we heard this morning, as soon as she had seen the Christ child, as soon as she heard Simeon's confession, she then began to speak of the Savior to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And then in her place, she confessed her hope of salvation to her closest neighbors. What a marvelous example for us all. We are gathered here to hear God's word. And then from this place, we will go to our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our families and friends. As you go from this place this morning, having heard the word of the Lord, consider those whom God has placed in your life as your nearest neighbors. Think about those people, maybe those that you even saw last week, maybe your fellow members, who you don't expect to see again until next December. To whom can you speak? Whom can you encourage? Whom can you invite? To whom can you speak? Follow the example of Anna. Call others to more frequent church attendance, to instruction in the saving truth of the Scriptures as confessed in the small catechism. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord, the salvation that he has won, not just for you, but for all. He who is the redemption of Jerusalem and all mankind. As we do this, as we confess Jesus Christ to our friends and family, as we invite them to join us here in worship, as we continue to come to this holy house week after week to hear again the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our forgiveness, then thanks be to God, Christ and the Mass are not left in Christmas. Make no mistake, it's good to keep both in that day, but we ought not leave them there. Instead, as we move on through the Christmas season into Epiphany and pre-Lent and Lent and beyond, our prayer is that Christ would order all our days in his peace, that we may be found in his house for worship often, for he has been appointed for our rising. And so he has. He has raised us up from death to life, from sin to righteousness, for he is truly our salvation, redemption, and glory. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.